910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden today announces a quadrupling of tariffs on Chinese-made electric vehicles.
The White House says they need to do this to protect key American industries from cheaper Chinese goods that they say could wipe out the competition. You have Janet Yellen, who's warned that China has enormous capacity to produce these goods that can shift global prices.
China is now simply too large for the rest of the world to absorb this enormous capacity.
And that they are flooding the market with artificially cheap goods, which really harms Americans.
ABC's Selena Wang. Tsai versus Candela pleaded guilty to ramming a rental truck into metal barriers outside the White House in March of last year. Candela admitting he was fueled by Nazi propaganda. He'll be sentenced at a later date. An independent monitor declared that the Albuquerque Police Department is now in full compliance with reforms ordered by the Justice Department 9 years ago. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Canadian wildfire smoke is back. That's why skies were hazy over Wisconsin Monday. Air quality alerts were issued for several counties. The Department of Natural Resources says small particles may make air unhealthy for some people, especially the very young, the very old, and people with heart or lung conditions. Most rural voters favor economic policies that lower costs and raise incomes for the working class. Patrick Toomey helped conduct a new poll for Breakthrough Campaigns.
Just cutting taxes and getting rid of regulations is not going to do the most to help me in this economy.
The poll shows rural voters agree with many Democratic policy positions, but think Republicans are doing more for working people. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Pirates clip the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game one of a three-game series at AmFam Field. Pittsburgh jumping out to an early lead. The Brewers came back with a dramatic grand slam home run in the eighth from Jake Bowers, but the Pirates held on to beat the Brewers 8-6. The Pirates starter, Mitch Keller, keeping the Brewers in check for six innings. Manager Pat Murphy after the loss.
I love our team, huh? Yeah, I love them. You know, the way they battle, that's just, it's a sign of, you know, we did a lot of things not so good, but we had an opportunity to win the game. And obviously, you know, that Keller pitched. I think all the attention on the other two guys, I think he stepped up tonight. He pitched great, man. I've seen him do this before, but Keller was great. Ball was taken off. He was in total command. It's pretty special.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. The two teams go at it again Tuesday night with sports from American Family Field in Milwaukee. I'm Mike Clemens.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Next up on The Maggie Dawn Show, if you thought you were afraid of a second Trump presidency, I've got Trump's wish list of Supreme Court nominees. You won't want to miss it.
Weekdays 2 till 4 p.m. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 66 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low of 38. Tomorrow, sunshine in the morning. A few more clouds and a few showers in the afternoon with a high of 69. Scattered showers and thunderstorms are likely tomorrow night into Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Matt Mayer you're on air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Civic Media.
Rough hands, dirty boots, and farming roots. It's all we know. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
A little cooler out there on a Tuesday morning. You're probably going to notice. Come on in, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke right here. We'll be checking in with Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, on weather details. What I can tell you is it is going to be definitely cooler today than what you experienced yesterday. La Crosse area, you're probably going to get a little sunshine today and warm up to around 71. Madison area, not much better than 63 under cloudy skies. And along the lakeshore, you're probably going to see rain this morning. Best of your daytime highs, right around 52 degrees. Everybody sees an improvement in the weather on Wednesday, bouncing up to sunshine. Temperatures in the 60s along the lakeshore, 70s in Madison and 70s in La Crosse. After that, we'll just have to see what weather develops. Stu Muck, like I said, has all our weather details on the way. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, also joining us. And taking a look at what the ethanol industry is trying to negotiate in Washington, D.C. to make sure that you've got affordable options at the pump. Stephanie Hoff has those details all on the way.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Rough hands, dirty boots, and farming roots. It's all we know. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
A little cooler out there on a Tuesday morning. You're probably going to notice. Come on in, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke right here. We'll be checking in with Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, on weather details. What I can tell you is it is going to be definitely cooler today than what you experienced yesterday. La Crosse area, you're probably going to get a little sunshine today and warm up to around 71. Madison area, not much better than 63 under cloudy skies. And along the lakeshore, you're probably going to see rain this morning. Best of your daytime highs, right around 52 degrees. Everybody sees an improvement in the weather on Wednesday, bouncing up to sunshine. Temperatures in the 60s along the lakeshore, 70s in Madison and 70s in La Crosse. After that, we'll just have to see what weather develops. Stu Muck, like I said, has all our weather details on the way. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, also joining us. And taking a look at what the ethanol industry is trying to negotiate in Washington, D.C. to make sure that you've got affordable options at the pump. Stephanie Hoff has those details all on the way.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
More and more attention is being paid to biofuels and the fuel combinations that are available to consumers. And restoring that renewable fuel standard is a big priority for Growth Energy. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And Emily Score, CEO of Growth Energy, is along with us to talk about policy development in D.C. and how it could impact consumers' pocketbooks. But first, She breaks down the importance of the renewable fuel standard for our ethanol producers and corn growers.
The renewable fuel standard, it's really the bedrock law that allows us access to the marketplace as ethanol producers. And it's a law passed by Congress in 2005, and then again in 2007 they updated it. And it says we as a nation are going to use more renewable fuel every single year. That's our goal. And we're going to set targets, and we're going to make sure that oil refiners blend with the gasoline renewable fuel like ethanol. And so that's been absolutely critical to the growth of not just ethanol, but the rural economy and our ability to grind more U.S. corn. We're at a point now, this administration has done a pretty good job, I would say, of administering it in line with congressional intent. One of our big things that we're looking at very closely moving forward is making sure that the next time the government sets the annual obligation in that number, they're really shooting high enough to account for all of the innovation that's taking place in the biofuel space. They're accounting for the renewable diesel coming online and the increase in production there. They're accounting for the fact that more American drivers are using E15. So we want to make sure that we use that law to help spur more demand. And it's kind of a market forcing mechanism. But it's the kind of thing where EPA comes out with obligation requirements every year. So we really, every year, we have to make sure that we're working with the administration, using our congressional champions to educate the administration and make sure that they follow congressional intent, that they are optimistic, that they're bullish in setting numbers high that will drive change and drive greater adoption of U.S. ethanol.
Where is that pushback coming then from when it comes to renewable fuels?
Well, we really have to push back from two different places. So historically, a big part of the pushback has been from oil refiners. They don't want to blend more ethanol with gasoline because that's less market share for them. They don't like the notion of a requirement that they would have to do this. They want to be able to choose to do this. So most of the friction has really been between the oil lobby and U.S. ethanol and American agriculture and the corn growers as well. So that's where kind of some of that tension has been. Recently, however, that's starting to change. Many of the big integrated refineries are understanding, as they are starting to look at renewable diesel, they're looking at biofuels as a way that they can keep liquid fuels low carbon. And so they're starting to change their perspective on the renewable fuel standard. Now, the other kind of flank where we're on the defense is on the environmental side, which is really unfortunate and really kind of hard to understand if you think about it. The more ethanol you use, actually, the better for the environment. The cleaner the emissions coming out of the tailpipe. If you look at the innovations taking place on the farm and at the plant, the theme is more with less. We are producing more with less, fewer inputs on the farm, fewer inputs at the plant, cleaner environmental profile. But the environmentalists don't agree with that. And really, it's an ideology for them. They don't want production agriculture to be part of the green economy. And so there's friction there. And it really is making sure that we bring forward the sound science that shows, look at the innovation that's taking place in the industry. We continue to be cleaner and greener. We continue to do more with less. And so, therefore, we should be embracing biofuels, not challenging them.
We did have a slight win, I would say, recently. You know, the EPA recently approved E15 to be available year-round in 8 Midwestern states. But my question really is, why wasn't it sold year-round before?
Well, isn't that a great question? So let's start with what E15 is. E15 is a fuel blended with 15% ethanol. Standard gasoline is blended with 10% ethanol. And you know what? Most drivers don't actually know that. They're driving around and their gas tank has 10% ethanol. We would like them to be driving on 15% ethanol. It's better for the environment. It's better for the pocketbook because it's more affordable. And it's going to be great for driving demand and really bringing income back to the rural economy because that's going to drive a lot more corn grind. So that's what E15 is. The reason that it hasn't been legal year-round, it goes back to a 1990 regulation way back in the previous century that was put on the books before E15 even existed as a fuel. So you really need the regulations to modernize and become current with the marketplace. Because of this outdated regulation, E15 has not been permitted to be sold in the summer. 8 Midwestern governors finally said, enough, that's ridiculous. We want our drivers to have access to this affordable fuel, and it's going to be good for our rural economy too, because we're using corn from our state. So they appealed to the EPA and said, we're opting out of your summer fuel volatility program. We want to sell it year-round. EPA said, yes, we approve that. So starting in the summer of 2024, in 8 Midwestern states, consumers are going to have the ability to drive on E15 to access this year-round without any hurdles. And those states include include Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota, Ohio, and Missouri. So it really is a nice footprint in the middle of the country. However, that's only 8 states. That's less than 15% of the fuel supply. We need a federal solution. We don't want this fuel, E15, which is unleaded 88 when you go to the gas station. We don't want it to be a niche fuel. This should be available. It's approved for 96% of the cars on the road. It should be available in all 50 states, all 12 months of the year. And that really requires an active Congress. So we've got bills that have been introduced. They are supported by Republicans and Democrats. They are supported in the House and the Senate. We just need to get, we need to work through the politics and some of that oil resistance, though it is diminishing. But we need to work through the politics to get a legislative fix so we don't have to have this conversation anymore. Because really, at the end of the day, this is it's a win-win for consumers, for farmers, and for the planet.
And Girl Energy, you really do push the biofuels as that cost-effective solution, because it really is. And like you said, it's supporting the economy. It's also good for that consumer pocketbook, all of the farmers in general. It is a win-win. So tell me a little bit more about just why you guys advocate for this and your other priorities.
So at Growth Energy, we are really committed to expanding America's bioeconomy. And we do that by, we represent ethanol producers who increasingly are producing a wide array of products at the plant. And so it's not just fuel ethanol. It's not just high protein animal feed. We've got corn oil. We've got additional products that can be used in health and safety applications. And we also have this new opportunity with sustainable aviation fuel. So much of the work that we're doing is educating policymakers on the potential of the bioeconomy. The fact that U.S. agriculture wants to participate in a green economy, we have the ability to do that. And through biofuels and biofuel production, you can incentivize a lot of the kind of climate smart agriculture or sustainable agriculture that people are talking about, regenerative agriculture. We can potentially incentivize that through biofuels because we've got these tax credits and the ability to potentially pay a premium for corn that's low carbon as well. So a lot of our work is advocating in Washington, D.C., but we also work in the 50 state capitals and in capitals around the world because we export about 10% of our ethanol, and that's a growing market opportunity for us. But we've got to do some work to eliminate some tariffs and some headwinds in some countries. But it's exciting, the work that we're doing on all fronts and what we're seeing across the board. There's a growing appetite for low-carbon fuel that is affordable and available and can be used in today's automobiles and today's airplanes as well.
That was Growth Energy CEO Emily Score along with us. Under her leadership, Growth Energy has expanded demand for biofuels at home and abroad with the launch of a new global market development function and fresh consumer education initiatives to help drive those sales of cleaner, more affordable options at the pump. These efforts continue today and have helped fuel over 75 billion miles driven by Americans on E15, which is now available at more than 3,000 locations. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The corruption trial of U.S. Senator Robert Menendez started May 13th for allegedly taking gold bars and cash in exchange for favors. May 3rd, the U.S. Justice Department announced bribery charges against Congressman Henry Cuellar. May 9th, news surfaced that former President Donald Trump promised U.S. oil executives he'd roll back climate regulations and ask for $1 billion in contributions. According to reporting by the Washington Post, Trump's brazen ask occurred at an April dinner with U.S. oil and gas executives. He told them they could afford to contribute $1 billion to his campaign and promised he would expand drilling in the Arctic and Gulf of Mexico and roll back Biden administration climate rules. "You'll get it on the first day," he reportedly said. Menendez, former chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, is accused of doing political favors for the government of Egypt, an Egyptian-American businessman, and a New Jersey developer in exchange for gold bars, cash, and a Mercedes convertible. Texas Congressman Henry Cuellar was indicted May 3rd for allegedly taking $600,000 in bribes from Azerbaijan's state-owned oil and gas company and a Mexican bank. He could face decades in prison. Campaign finance complaints will likely be filed against Donald Trump, but it's unlikely the dysfunctional Federal Election Commission would take action because there were no gold bars involved. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah. It's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, executive producer Luke Mathers joins us at 10:33. In hour number 2, what would a second Trump term mean for your health care? Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinair on air.
And although you may not think about feed as an international issue, she says in reality it is one of their bigger concerns.
Quite frankly, one of the big areas we're concerned about is the growing awareness and challenge we have with 85% of our vitamins originating in China. Now, that's for animal feed and food as well as human vitamins. So you can imagine that if we suffer some sort of even a small disruption because of geopolitical tensions, tariffs, other kinds of things that can disrupt your supply chain, we could be severely impacted. So our big focus is really trying to get the U.S. government to understand that we need to think creatively about how we bring some production back to the United States.
85% of all our vitamins, not just for livestock, but for people as well, originating in China. That's Constance Coleman, president and CEO of the American Feed Industry Association. She said they're working right now just to raise awareness for people to help them better understand, hey, this is really what's going on. We export 13.4 billion pounds of feed products every year. She said some of the best places that our products are going, Vietnam, Morocco, Brazil, and of course, China. So something to be aware of. I bring it up because Stephanie Hoff has got an excellent podcast up on our playlist right now, MidwestFarmReport.com, if you want to hear more. Time to hear more on weather. Stu Mock, ag meteorologist, joining us this morning. A little cooler out there than it was yesterday at this time.
Yeah, a little bit cooler, and there's been a little bit of moisture. I mean, I'm seeing Madison at 1/100 of an inch, 2/100 of an inch at Fond du Lac. Anything that really measured far south, Racine, 4/500 of an inch. And how about that? A frost advisory up at Park Falls and north. It's just that kind of a May morning in Wisconsin. A cool front drops south through the state, pushing down into Illinois. There is a little rain in southern Iowa, scattered into western and central Illinois. Maybe a sprinkle in far southeast Wisconsin yet this morning. Otherwise, it will begin to dry out. I'm anticipating we stay a bit cooler today, start to warm it up as we head toward Wednesday and Thursday. But later Wednesday into Thursday, another round of some rain moves in. Couple of tenths of an inch could be seen. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
Any lender can tell you about banking, but few know the business ins and outs of farming and ranching. That's where Compere Financial stands apart. We are here with unparalleled ag industry expertise, a forward-thinking mindset to identify your challenges and opportunities, and the ability to support smart decision-making for your operation. Visit Compere.com to get started today. Compere Financial is an equal opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
If you got to take one for the team, at least look to Bobcat Plus to help you out. Bobcat Plus has been keeping you from the aches and the pains of the tough jobs for years. Bobcat Plus carries new and used Bobcat equipment, and all locations have a full service department, parts, and rentals. They're in Eau Claire, Butler, Appleton, and De Pere, featuring a full lineup of compact wheel and truck loaders, mini excavators, compact tractors, zero-turn mowers, hundreds of hard-working attachments, and so much more. Stop in or visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
Alrighty, Stu, let's have that forecast.
All right, some clouds in the east and south this morning, more clear in the northwest, of course, with that frost advisory, maybe a sprinkle in southern or southeast Wisconsin for a time, but we do see some clearing today for most of us in the low and mid-60s, and the northeast winds at 5 to 10. Partly cloudy overnight, back in the lower 40s with the northeast winds 5 to 10. A sunny day Wednesday. Hey, upper 60s, low 70s. East winds 5 to 10. But then that rain chance starts to edge into western Wisconsin late Wednesday night, spreading east through the day Thursday. Showers, maybe an afternoon thunderstorm. Wouldn't expect severe weather. Couple of tenths of an inch of rain with low 70s. And the south winds at 5 to 10. A little damp to wrap up the week, Pam, but the temperatures stay mild. In fact, well above normal as we head for the weekend.
You know, and so far it doesn't seem like the rain has held up some activities. I got a call from Stan this morning. They cut the rye yesterday. It should be going through the chopper today. I mean, we are getting closer to first crop alfalfa for a lot of folks, and so far that rain hasn't necessarily slowed that train down by much.
Not too bad. You know, it hasn't been a real big widespread soaking rain the last couple of days, fortunately, so helps.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, buddy, we'll catch up with you tomorrow, see where we stand.
All right, see you later.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist, keeping us up to date on what's happening with our weather. Don't forget, Talk Text Line, always open for you. Give me a call.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Hayward Muskie Festival, presented by Adventure RV and Power Sports of Hayward, has been selected as a finalist for the Senex Hometown Throwdown Competition. Show your hometown pride and help Muskie Fest win the $100,000 grand prize by voting online at senexhometownthrowdown.com. The Hayward Muskie Festival is hosted by the Hayward Area Chamber of Commerce. Join them at this year's fest, June 21st through 23rd, for a summer dose of Hayward fun. Remember to vote by May 15th at senexhometownthrowdown.com.
Well, hi there. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WBZH. It's not just for farmers. It's for anybody that loves food. Tune in 5 a.m. on the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. Hayward.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? Wish Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online, plus earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at wiscaregivercdcp.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the Raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden today announces a quadrupling of tariffs on Chinese-made electric vehicles.
The White House says they need to do this to protect key American industries from cheaper Chinese goods that they say could wipe out the competition. You have Janet Yellen, who's warned that China has enormous capacity to produce these goods that can shift global prices.
China is now simply too large for the rest of the world to absorb this enormous capacity.
And that they are flooding the market with artificially cheap goods, which really harms Americans.
ABC's Selena Wang. Cy Versuth Kandola pleaded guilty to ramming a rental truck into metal barriers outside the White House in March of last year. Kandola admitting he was fueled by Nazi propaganda. He'll be sentenced at a later date. An independent monitor declared that the Albuquerque Police Department is now in full compliance with reforms ordered by the Justice Department 9 years ago. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Canadian wildfire smoke is back. That's why skies were hazy over Wisconsin Monday. Air quality alerts were issued for several counties. The Department of Natural Resources says small particles may make air unhealthy for some people, especially the very young, the very old, and people with heart or lung conditions. Most rural voters favor economic policies that lower costs and raise incomes for the working class. Patrick Toomey helped conduct a new poll for Breakthrough Campaigns.
Just cutting taxes and getting rid of regulations is not going to do the most to help me in this economy.
The poll shows rural voters agree with many Democratic policy positions, but think Republicans are doing more for working people. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Pirates clip the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game one of a three-game series at AmFam Field. Pittsburgh jumping out to an early lead. The Brewers came back with a dramatic grand slam home run in the eighth from Jake Bowers, but the Pirates held on to beat the Brewers 8-6. A Pirates starter, Mitch Keller, keeping the Brewers in check for six innings. Manager Pat Murphy after the loss.
I love our team, huh? Yeah, I love them. You know, the way they battle, that's just, it's a sign of, you know, we did a lot of things not so good, but we had an opportunity to win the game. And obviously, you know, that Keller pitched. I think he, all the attention on the other two guys, I think he stepped up tonight. He pitched great, man. I've seen him do this before, but Keller was great. Ball was taken off. He was in total command. It's pretty special.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. The two teams go at it again Tuesday night with sports from American Family Field in Milwaukee. I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the host of Civic Media's The Maggie Dawn Show, Maggie Dawn, and Bigfoot tracker and enthusiast, Mike Desitel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 66 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low of 38. Tomorrow, sunshine in the morning. A few more clouds and a few showers in the afternoon with a high of 69. Scattered showers and thunderstorms are likely tomorrow night into Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. If you've got credit card debt, you are not alone. 61% of Americans do. This is the most in history. And today's average credit card interest rate is almost 28%. I hear about this every day. And when I see that many of us paying that much in interest, I get pretty mad. 25 to 30% interest, that is loan shark territory. I mean, how much money do these companies actually need? They deserve some profit for lending money, but come on. Me and the 6 million members at Work Money, the not-for-profit I run, we think hard work should earn us a good life. We tell companies and political leaders, and credit card companies in particular, they should do the right thing by everyday folks. You should join us. Text MONEY to 88285. That's M-O-N-E-Y to 88285 for info and tips on affordable living. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass,
though. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills. And on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but you can't drive high. You can run, but you can't.
friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
If your workout includes baling hay and pitching pens, then you'll be comfortable right here. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Gee whiz, it was really nice to see a little pop at our dairy markets yesterday in Chicago. Our cheese prices came up. Our fluid milk values, the milk that goes into cheese, came up. What's going on with that? We're going to talk about it with John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He joins us live this morning. Stick around for that. I'm Pam Yonke. Welcome back. And today it's going to be a little on the chilly side compared to what we've enjoyed over the weekend. Today in La Crosse, you'll be the warmest, probably temperatures in the low 70s. Madison area, probably no better than the upper 60s. And along the lakeshore, you'll be lucky to hang in the 60s for today. Plus rain on the way for you this morning. Let's see. Today is the 14th day of May. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day, back in 1953, Milwaukee brewery workers went on strike. They started a 10-week strike, as a matter of fact. They were asking for contracts comparable to those on the East and West Coast. In the end, Blatt's Brewery accepted their demands. They said it was going to take years to rebuild the reputation of the prestige of Milwaukee beer after that. But the strike started on this day in 1953. On this day in 1796, the first smallpox vaccination was administered. British physician that inoculated an 8-year-old smallpox patient using material from a cowpox lesion. Yes, cowpox. It came from a cow. Vaccine is derived from the Latin word for cow, vaca. So now you know a little bit more about that. Happy birthdays. Well, actually an anniversary, so to speak. On this day in 1897, the oldest continuously operating movie theater in the world opened and still runs in Washington, Iowa. It's called the State Theater. Still in operation today. I looked. They're going to have the Rocky Horror Picture Show coming up this weekend for your viewing pleasure. And happy birthdays today. Let's see. Producer-director George Lucas, 80 years young. Actress Kate Blanchett is 55. And Mr. Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, turns 40 today. And now you know. Emphasis on this Tuesday morning on what's going on when it comes to fuel policy. If you're like me, you definitely have noticed how prices at the pump continue to climb. Making sure that you've got options at that pump is exactly what a lot of our renewable fuels groups are focused on in Washington, D.C. Stephanie Hoff's got an update on how they're targeting hybrid cars, those cars that run on both electricity and fuel, for tax credits that could boost the renewable fuels industry. She explains.
As the United States works towards reducing emissions, the Renewable Fuels Association doesn't want biofuels to get tossed aside. Troy Bradenkamp joins us. He's the Senior Vice President of Government and Public Affairs. Right now, he's focused on making sure that flex fuel vehicles, or cars that can run on high blends of renewable corn-based ethanol, get the same sustainability credits as electric vehicles. In writing, it's called the Flex Fuel Fairness Act.
So the Flex Fuel Fairness Act would give auto manufacturers a credit, a 31% credit for making flex fuel vehicles. We right now don't have a lot of auto manufacturers making flex fuel vehicles because they've lost the incentive to do so. They used to get a CAFE credit, a corporate average fuel economy credit for making an FFV. That has gone away. It went away under the Obama administration, and they have very gradually phased out making FFVs, and that's unfortunate. What the Flex Fuel Fairness Act would do, based on the tailpipe emissions rule that was just approved by EPA, they give a zero for carbon emissions to a battery electric vehicle. And that's assuming the best case scenario for a battery electric vehicle, which is there's no emissions. Even though we know the electricity had to come from somewhere, and that created emissions somewhere. So what we're saying is if you can assume a best case scenario for a battery electric vehicle, then assume a best case scenario for a flex fuel vehicle. And that is it's burning E85. And if it's burning E85, it's a 31% reduction in tailpipe emissions. Give that same credit then, 31%, to a vehicle manufacturer. And we have been told by a lot of auto companies that they would make flex fuel vehicles. Every single vehicle rolling off the line with an engine in it would be flex fuel if they got that 31% credit. So that's the basis of the Flex Fuel Fairness Act and something that we're very supportive of.
Troy says that the Renewable Fuels Association believes that biofuel technology and electric vehicle technology can coexist, and they proved it with their own vehicle.
We, 2 years ago, we being RFA, created the first in the world that we're aware of, a plug-in hybrid flex fuel vehicle. So we took a plug-in hybrid right off the lot. It was a Ford Escape plug-in hybrid. We did an aftermarket conversion kit to make it a flex fuel vehicle. And that vehicle has burned mostly E85. Sometimes it burns E30. Sometimes it burns E15. Very rarely does it burn just E10. And then, of course, it uses the plug-in hybrid technology to where the first 20 to 30 miles are running on a battery. And then after that, it switches over to the liquid fuel side. And when it does that, we want that to be E85. We've done all the testing on this vehicle. We have sent it to University of California, Riverside to do diagnostics. The emissions on that vehicle, when it's burning E85, is 50 to 70% less than an actual regular vehicle, which is great, number one. The other thing is it doesn't lose any fuel economy when it's burning E85. The engine itself is set up to use high compression, meaning it likes high octane, and E85 is very high octane. So we see zero miles per gallon loss by burning E85. So there is an example of where we could combine the technologies of battery electric in a flex fuel plug-in hybrid, and you'll be able to do not only biofuel and get the emissions and the environmental benefits of that, but also, you know, have the battery and electric technology combined in one car. Flex Fuel Fairness Act would actually be the incentive to make those vehicles all the time.
Troy Bradenkamp along with us with an update on the Flex Fuel Fairness Act to ensure that flex fuel vehicles get the same sustainability credits as electric vehicles. Troy is the Senior Vice President of Government and Public Affairs with the Renewable Fuels Association. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Any lender can tell you about banking, but few know the business ins and outs of farming and ranching. That's where Compere Financial stands apart. We are here with unparalleled ag industry expertise, a forward-thinking mindset to identify your challenges and opportunities, and the ability to support smart decision-making for your operation. Visit Compere.com to get started today. Compere Financial is an equal opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
Well, Wisconsin farms have been using every available hour to keep moving forward on planting. According to the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service, as of Sunday, 40% of our corn was in the ground, and about 8% had actually emerged through the soil surface. 37% of our soybeans were already planted, 68% of the oats in the ground. 80% of the potatoes have already been planted, and it looks like some folks have even started cutting a little hay where the weather has allowed. In overnight electronic trade this morning in Chicago, the markets are a little bit mixed. Right now, December corn, that's up a penny, currently at $4.94. Our November soybeans, though, are still down a nickel at $12.07. July wheat's down a nickel as well, $6.82 a bushel. Nice boost yesterday in dairy. Barrel cheese gained 6 cents to $1.97 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese was unchanged at $1.98, and AA butter gained back 3.75 cents to $3.02 and three quarters per pound. The June class 3 milk that goes into cheese, that's up 14 cents right now at $21.40 a hundredweight. July is up a dime at $20.31 a hundredweight. We'll be talking more about those trends with John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us in just a moment. If you're a Wisconsin farmer, you know not a lot of farmland comes up for sale in this state. And that was reflected in the latest survey of ag lenders in the 7th Federal Reserve District. That includes Wisconsin, Michigan, Iowa, Illinois, and took a look at what those lenders are seeing as far as land sales and trends. What they found out is that there's a 2% increase in cash rental rates for farmland in that district. It's a little bit slower than it was a couple years ago, but it's still a 2% increase. What about Wisconsin? Here in Wisconsin, average annual cash rents for good farmland up 6% this year compared to last. And Wisconsin is a little bit of an anomaly when it comes to our farmland sales. Now, first of all, one lender pointed out there's just not much farmland being sold in Wisconsin. That may be part of the reason why just in the first quarter of 2024, the value of good farmland in Wisconsin went up 3%. Our year ago numbers, so April from 2023 to April 2024, Wisconsin farmland value for good farmland went up 10% compared to a year ago. By far the strongest farmland sales numbers for all of the 7th District. All right, coming up next, like I said, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us. Do you have a question you'd like John to address? Use our talk text line and I'll relay it on. That's 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. Text your question, John will answer it coming up next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots. The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get out. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Witt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between DePere and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah. It's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we revisit the old Trumpster's tax returns and find out what the Chicago Trump Tower could tell us about election 2024. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Let's get started with what's been going on in the marketplace. All of a sudden, wheat has turned into a very intriguing story. I know there's not necessarily huge acreage in Wisconsin, but it's still got the dynamics of a really cool story. What's going on?
Yeah, we've seen a pretty massive rally in the wheat market here, realistically, since the middle of April. You know, we were trading around the 550 level for that July Chicago contract. Yesterday, we came close to challenging the $7 level. This morning, trading about 686, 685. So we're looking at a $1.30 rally in a matter of a couple weeks here, a little less than a month in the wheat market. And there's been a couple things that are coming into play here. It's not a lot of major headlines, but a lot of concern points that are going on out there globally. And I think it was just enough to get the funds moving out of those short positions. And that has been some of the reason, too. We've seen some movement in the other grains. You know, we're looking at here in the United States, Kansas City, the KC wheat belt, the western side of that belt has been on the drier side. Winter wheat ratings there are about 50% good to excellent, still a lot better than they were last year. But there were some concerns on production. USDA addressed those a little bit on that report on Friday, and that helped push that wheat market higher. We've got frost as well as dry conditions in Russia. Russia is the world's largest exporter of wheat. We did see the USDA lower their projection on their crop by about 3 million metric tons, maybe recognizing that a little this time frame. You know, so that's lifted the global price of wheat. Throw in there, India is usually self-sufficient in wheat, but they're at a 16-year low for their own stockpiles. There's chatter or talk that they may come into the export market. They typically do not export wheat or import wheat and bring it in to meet their stockpiles. But when they do, they've done it at an aggressive pace. So the market may be piecing some of that in there. You know, just throw in all the other activities in the grains and things of that nature, too. This wheat is really what's led the grain markets higher, or at least the core market for the most part, higher over the last handful of days, despite some of the planning numbers and things that we're seeing out there.
Now, you said you don't see any issue. You were more impressed than you expected with planting progress.
Yeah, planting progress actually for corn came in 49% planted, right what the market was anticipating. I thought that number would be a little less just from talking to guys. You know, I thought we'd be over the 40 level, but maybe around that 42, 44 window. So I was a little surprised to see a 13% jump week over week. Now, we have slipped behind pace. Average pace for this time frame is about 54%, but we're at a spot. You know, when, you know, I've mentioned 2019 in the past. This is not 2019 at this time frame. We couldn't even get in some of these fields. Now, we do have those issues out there, but guys are getting moving a little bit here as the weather has dried out a little in some regions, but they're getting to the spots they can. Now, on the soybean side, 35% planted. That was a little below what the market was anticipating, but still ahead of the five-year average because guys seem to push beans in early with the wetter weather. But now this last round, it looked like they focused on getting that corn in, so we saw that jump. Biggest thing is key states, Illinois, Iowa. They're about 14, 15% behind their five-year pace. Maybe that's a little reason why we're seeing some strength in that corn market so far in the overnight session. But there's some limiting factors, though, that could make it very difficult for corn prices to rally, especially if the wheat rally were to cool.
John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live on a Tuesday here on the Midwest Farm Report. Let's talk a little bit more about dairy, John. That's been catching my attention. It was dairy product prices and the fluid, the class 3 cheese milk's been going crazy.
Yeah, that's really what's been leading this rally has been the cheese side of the equation and the demand for cheese that's out there. Now, starting to see some commentary that maybe this is getting a little too rich here right now, getting out over its skis. Maybe the momentum traders have jumped into that June contract and really pushed it here. You know, but we are seeing good production schedules. Milk supplies are looking to be tightening here. And again, maybe there's just a little bit of panic buying into the market. So as a producer, I'd be looking at the opportunities here. One thing of this catching in my eye is the spread between the June-July contract trading over a dollar plus between those two contracts. They've only had a couple of times in the last 4 or 5 years that has happened. Happened during the 2020 with the craziness of COVID. 2022, at the end of the year, we saw a big jump in that spread. Those time frames that did not last long, just so be wary of that on that June contract, that we'll probably see those two tighten up. Now, will it be July coming to meet June or June coming to meet July?
Is there anything to, as far as use or inventory or anything to justify any of this?
You know, right now, just looking over the USDA highlights in terms of the milk production, like I said, and cheese stocks are actually pretty comfortable right now to handle the things. There was some concerns a couple of weeks ago that maybe some of the supplies or orders couldn't make it passed on. I think that's what led a little bit of panic buying. But it just seems like at this time the cheesemakers are, you know, can get things covered in terms of their schedules. But again, with a little bit tighter milk supplies, maybe they're being a little aggressive, making sure they got that milk locked in.
Less than 60 seconds, John. Tell me about this discussion on tariffs from China.
Well, yeah, one thing that was really moving the bean market was the possible cooking oil tariff, and that's really what supported beans after that USDA report. It sounds like that was a rumor only, and we're seeing beans under pressure this morning and cooking oil down sharply, again, because of that potential rumor, or excuse me, soybean oil down sharply because of that potential rumor not being true.
All right, good enough, my friend. We appreciate it, as always. John Heinberg joining us live this morning. He is with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Find their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. Pick up the phone, give them a call, 800-334-9779. We'll catch you next week, John. Thanks.
Have a great week.
All right, John Heinberg joining us live with all the answers you're looking for on a Tuesday morning. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning. Going to find out how the auction market's going now that folks are in the farm fields. We'll catch you tomorrow morning. Have a great Tuesday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Purdue Ag Economy Barometer took a beating last month. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
America's farmers, or at least the ones surveyed in April for the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer, are a bit pessimistic about the economy. Purdue Ag economist Jim Mintert says the barometer includes current conditions and future expectations, both of which dropped significantly from the month before.
Producers are increasingly showing concerns about their financial situation as they look at what's taking place here in 2024. And I think a lot of that obviously is related to the weakness we've seen in crop prices.
One potentially positive sign, says Minter.
We're still getting more people saying that they expect to see farmland values rise over the next 12 months than expect to see it fall, which is why the index is still positive in the sense that it's above 100, but clearly less optimism than what we saw before.
Mintert says the survey also noted growing interest in leasing farmland for solar.
Although our survey isn't large enough to really discern this, we suspect that those higher lease rates are probably in areas where farmland lease rates are higher, for example, in the Corn Belt, and then obviously in some areas where the demand for solar energy, for whatever reason, is higher than in some other locales.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Civic Media.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A major economic announcement coming today from President Biden. He'll unveil a massive increase in tariffs.